You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
This week, I spoke with our National's Jamie Lee Ross for our regular segment about two events, the visit by the Philippines President Rodrigo Duterte and also the petition against Brian Tamaki's comments re the Kaukoura earthquake. The Philippines President Rodrigo Duterte has been in New Zealand briefly this week as a transit stopover between APEC. It has been posited in terms of why he's in the country that he may have chosen to refuel in New Zealand to avoid stopping over in the US. As far as the New Zealand government is aware, was a stopover a practical decision, or was it more of an opportunity to meet with Foreign Minister Murray McCulley, who did go and see him at his hotel room?
Oh, I'm not sure what his exact reasons would have been, but New Zealand's the type of country that we welcome any foreign visitors just about. We're willing to engage with every country out there. We need to have good relationships in Asia and good relationships from a trade perspective around the world. And so, look, if he's opportunistically landing in New Zealand to refuel, then that's an opportunity for New Zealand to meet with him too. He is an interesting character. He's got some pretty controversial policies in his home country, certainly policies we wouldn't endorse as a country. But he does represent a country that's important in Asia. The interesting point about the US that you just mentioned, and I don't know whether there's truth to that rumour or not, but Duterte's positioning himself towards China and Russia more than the Philippines ever has before. They've traditionally had a very close relationship with the US. So that's an interesting move that I guess New Zealand needs to watch out for, and the US will be quite interested in and watching for as well. But in terms of New Zealand, our job's to be a non-threatening, welcoming party to all nations around the world so that we can work with them.
It is interesting that while the TPPA is in some serious doubt at the moment, are we going to be looking more towards the Philippines as a country for trade and to build a better relationship with? Because the Philippines, I mean, forgive me if I'm wrong, but they're not currently included in the TPPA, are they?
No, the Philippines isn't one of the 12 TPP countries, but the previous president had indicated that the Philippines was interested in joining TPP. They had an election, though, just like they had an election in the US, and elections have consequences. The whole rationale behind the Barack Obama administration pushing TPP was to pivot the US more towards Asia and engage more in Asia and counterbalance some of the influence that China has in the Asian region as well. And so the Philippines president moving more towards China would be of concern to the US. Whether it's of concern to the incoming administration, I don't know. But from our perspective as a country that wishes to trade with the US and with Asia, we see ourselves fairly balanced in the middle. We try not to take sides. We did take the Philippines' side against the case that they took against China around the South China Sea. Our view was that China should be very careful about how they engage in the South China Sea. But then the new president of the Philippines has a different view on that as well. He doesn't support the previous administration's view on the South China Sea. So it's all kind of up in the air with regards to the US foreign policy and with regards to the Philippines. There is a growing Filipino population in Auckland. They would have enjoyed seeing the Philippines president visiting New Zealand. But I don't think it has huge ramifications either way for New Zealand as a country.
Now, I mean, we do need to be relatively clear about exactly where the kind of controversy with this potentially burgeoning relationship comes from. And, I mean, he has been named the Punisher because of his quite hectic war on drugs and his encouraging, even going so far as to encourage extrajudicial killings of people. And there are wild speculation about the exact number of people who have died under this regime seems strong early on, but you know, under this kind of presidential time, is there a point where New Zealand goes, actually, even though we like to be balanced in the great big scheme of global trade, actually we take issue with what you are doing? I mean, can New Zealanders rest assured that even if we are looking at building this relationship and we are wanting to welcome people into this country, that should there be a serious line crossed, that the government will put its foot down and say that's actually too far?
pretty much. I mean, Russia, I mentioned in conversations just before, we were pretty close to getting a free trade agreement with Russia. But when Russia took action in their region against other countries surrounding them, around the Crimea, we basically said, along with other countries, we're not prepared to engage in pursuing that trade agreement any further. We do like to stand up for human rights. We do speak out for human rights, and we don't believe in extrajudicial killings. We don't believe in the style of tackling drug lords that the Philippines is currently pursuing. But, you know, as a country, you need to pick and choose your battles as well. We speak out where we need to and where it's appropriate to. And I don't know what the conversations between the foreign minister and the president were, but I suspect if that particular topic had come up and he was asked his opinion, the foreign minister would have been honest about his view on things. It's not something that we support as a country. But at the same time, let's just remember, New Zealand's relatively small. We need to have good relationships around the world. We are not a country that agrees with human rights violations, and we speak out against them. But we don't have the same type of clout or resource that some other countries around the world do as well.
And speaking of speaking out, there's been a petition on change.org launched by somebody called Aaron Smithson. He's campaigning to have the Destiny Church reclassified as a hate group and have their tax-free status stripped because of Bishop Brian Tamaki's comments that the Kaikoura earthquake was caused by gay people. The petition now has, I think at last count, 122,000 signatures, nearly 123. I mean, what's the likely outcome of this petition? I mean, how likely is it that the government is going to take notice?
Well, it's pretty appalling what Brian Tamaki was saying, and I don't agree with anything that he was saying around the earthquakes and what he believes the causes of the earthquakes were. I mean, everyone knows that earthquakes are caused by tectonic plates and the shifting there of those plates. And you know, the sexual orientation of a group of New Zealanders has nothing to do with it, so I find it appalling. And good on those people that are speaking out and signing that petition. Would the government take action? Well, politicians themselves don't determine individual charities and which charities are registered or not. I think it's right that a group like Destiny has their charitable status questioned by New Zealanders, and having that contestability is healthy in a democracy. The Charities Commission is the body that decides the registration of charities, and I believe the criteria to be registered as a charity that Destiny would fit under would be that they're advancing religion in New Zealand. Whether they're advancing religion or not is up to the Charities Commission to make that determination. But I think in a free democracy like we have in New Zealand, people speaking out against an organisation with such distasteful views like Destiny is a healthy thing.
Do you think that, clearly they are a church, they are promoting religious views, that ticks the boxes in terms of the Charities Commission. Is there a possibility or any kind of precedent? It is quite a hard thing to research, I have tried, in terms of Charities Commission being spurred on to investigate this because of this petition, or does that kind of exist in a vacuum on its own?
Oh, I'm sure there'd be a complaints process available, and that petition could feed into complaints. I mean, the Family First, I think it was. Family First, their organisation was questioned and their charitable status was questioned. Greenpeace has had their charitable status questioned in the past because of their political activities, and the Charities Commission is the right body to make those determinations. I wouldn't want to see politicians like me or the other 120 MPs in Parliament saying this is a religious organisation and this is not. That's going far too far past where the line should be crossed for MPs. But the Charities Commission is the body that makes that determination, and quite rightly, New Zealanders should be able to make complaints or raise questions about the charitable status of an organisation if there is cause and if there is a feeling amongst New Zealanders that the charity is not acting appropriately.
And in terms of the other part of what the petition is asking for, labelling Destiny Church a hate group, is that a thing that, is there some sort of register of hate groups in New Zealand, or is that just a kind of popular term that is used to classify groups? Is it possible to classify somebody as a hate group?
I don't know if you can classify them as a hate group. I don't know the law around that, but I suspect the court of public opinion would be making determinations in that regard anyway. And, you know, we're a small country. You've got to exist in this country with the support of New Zealanders. And New Zealanders are free to speak out if they feel as though someone's being unjustified in their views. Look at the Islamic leader that's had his position removed from him effectively over some equally distasteful views. New Zealanders speak out. We live in a free democracy. It's a healthy thing.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.